Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Monday night podcast with our NASCA family. I would like to welcome our special guest tonight, Wanda Marie Chandler from Orlando, Florida. She's an abused survivor and author of the book Diamonds in the Rough, a compilation of healing and deliverance testimonies and stories about women who were used, abused, and cast aside by the family and friends. She hopes to bring young girls and women back from the brink of darkness. Wanda is the ninth of 10 children, born to Sylvian and Pastor Margaret Keith, both of whom are deceased. Born and partially raised in the United States Virgin Islands and finished growing up in Orlando, Florida, Wanda has a string of stories of early abuse. She says, I woke up from my sleep and the act was taking place. The person is unknown to me because I kept my eyes shut. Later, abuses came through her older brother and sister at different times. He at the beach and she at their home. Another early abuse involves a family across the street. I don't know how I got over to the house, but I was surrounded by adults whose faces I can't recall, only their feet. Well, I guess we have some story for Wanda to share with us tonight. I just would like to say I'm having issues with my internet, so if I drop, I'm hoping my co-host, Charlie, will pick up. This is Bailey Smith, and I am your host tonight. Our call-in number is 646-595-2118, 595-2118. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm going very shortly to bring on our guest. I'll continue because she's being spoken to, but I will continue a little bit more about her. She has started writing a string of stories of early abuse and helping others with the same thing. This is something that is really, really necessary to bring awareness and help people heal. The more we talk about our situations and the more we, share stories, it's a real way of healing and dealing with the abuse that we've been through. In the meantime, I'm going to...
Hey, hello, how are you doing, Bailey?
Good. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. And Wanda's here in the queue. She's already lined up and everything. She's the she should be the third caller on your panel.
I know. I was about to click on her, but I saw that you were talking to her. But do you guys hear
me talking? I stopped talking to her a little bit ago, sis, but it's all good. She's on there ready for you to go.
It's
I understand. She's ready to click on her microphone. She's ready to go, okay?
Which one? She's 407?
Yeah, it has her name. It says Wanda Special Guest. It says Wanda Special Guest there.
I can't see it. You wanna click and start it because something's wrong with my...
I'm just going. All right, I'm gonna go.
Thank you.
Hello, Wanda. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, you are a patient, resilient woman. I truly appreciate you. As I did tell you prior to the show, Bailey did announce when she got on that she's experiencing some challenges down there in Florida where she's at with her internet. So apparently her thing wasn't refreshing. So please forgive our inability to get you on in a more timely manner. But you know what? We're here now. So is this your first time sharing your story here with us on NASCA?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, welcome, and we are privileged to have you. I say this quite often, and it's always apropos, and I'm going to apply it here this evening as well. I look forward to the day when we go to look for a special guest for one of these shows and we can't find one, because that's telling me that we're getting closer to the day that we're stopping the abuses that have happened that caused us to become adult survivors of child abuse. In the meantime, as long as these stories continue to be out there, and what's that?
I didn't say anything.
I'm picking up a real bad echo. Hold on. Let me see what's going on here. All right. Let me see if that makes it a little better. All right. So we can you still hear me?
Yes, sir.
All righty. So our host did have to drop out. She might try to call back in shortly. Okay, so anyway, I look forward to the day we have a harder time finding a special guest because we are actually stopping the abuse, but at the same time, I'm grateful that we all have a platform now where silence isn't the order of the day, but speaking out and speaking up and bringing awareness is. So why don't you go ahead into what it is you want to share? We will get about every 15 minutes or 20 minutes, roughly. We will interrupt and bring the panel in to interact with you, and then we will we'll go from there. Okay.
Okay. No problem. Again, my name is Wanda Marie Chandler, and I always start with I have a story to tell, and I had to tell the story because the Lord appeared to me. He spoke to me in a dream, and he said it was time for me to deal with it. And I knew what he was talking about, but I didn't want to have to go back and face it. And so he told me to write a book. I had someone to tell me to write a book about what I went through because I had never spoken to anyone about what I went through, because the majority of it I had suppressed, I believe, or God allowed me to suppress it. And what happened was, everything that I'm about to say, or most of what I'm about to say, isn't in any order, because for whatever reason, I don't remember everything in order. But the earliest, when I began writing, my mind opened. And I just remember that I was at my grandmother's house. And when I woke up, the abuse was taking place, but I never opened my eyes. I can't tell you how long I was being abused before I woke up, and I can't tell you that it stopped while I was awoke. I don't remember everything. There are gaps there. For instance, I remember we got to my grandmother's house, and there was no one home, and we were trying to find a way in. So it essentially went from me sitting down, waiting to get in the house, to waking up and being in abuse. I can't tell you who opened the door. I can't tell you if we got in through the window. All I know is that we got into the house. And there is a big gap in between sitting outside and getting into the house. I just don't know, because to be honest with you, when I go back and I remember, I don't remember a familiar smell. I don't remember the person making a sound, nothing. I can't remember. I don't remember hearing a door open. I just remembered woke up and it was happening. And after that, everything from there up until now, and honestly, it's been a blank. I try to remember, because I think there's something I need to connect. And then I would have the answer, like, who did it? But it's not connecting. Up until present time, I'm 52 years old, and that part of me is still a blank. Now, through my church, through the healings, I've been told that it was a brother. And truth be told, it was myself, my brother, and my sisters. But that part has not, that hasn't settled with me as yet. I don't feel it isn't confirmed in my spirit that it's my brother. For me, I want to connect those dots, and it's just not happening. And I believe after that, I at some point I repressed it, I pushed it back. And the next one, in actuality, he said the next one was my brother and sister. The next one was actually our neighbors, a brother and sister, and it happened at the beach, and he took me so far out into the water to where I couldn't stand, but I would need him to hold me up. And so everything took place out there, and I remember walking out of the water. I don't remember anything else after that. I don't remember crying. I don't remember feeling anything. I would use the word numb maybe to describe, because to be honest with you, I don't remember it that much. I do remember years later, when I was probably in my mid-teens, that he came to the house, but I didn't feel anything. But I do remember I never came out of the room. I just heard his voice. And for whatever reason, I stayed in the room. I never came out. And the next one after that was the people across the street. And in all these circumstances, I don't know how, with the exception of going to my grandmother's house, but everything else, I don't know how I got there. I don't remember walking across the street. I don't remember if someone took me across the street, because my mom was very firm about us going outside on our own, but our families were also very close. So it could just been a happenstance that I just wandered away. I just remember that I ended up in a group of adults or teenagers, and it was myself and another little boy, and they just had us touching each other. And the last I remember was looking through and seeing my sister coming through a park, and she took me home. I don't know if they were ever confronted. I honestly don't know. I know I got a spanking, and I didn't understand why I was getting a spanking, and still don't to this day. And so what happened to me was all these memories, I repressed them until God told me to deal with it. And I had to go back and I had to remember these things. And that led up to me at 13, because at one point my mom used to have us go to this older guy. He was a deacon in the church, and he was our babysitter. And I just remember every time it was time to go to his house, I would just become a crying mess. I don't know why I never told her. I don't have a reason why I didn't, but I just never did. And it was like dramatically stopping me. It was like, I don't remember going to the bathroom. I don't remember. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, I don't remember going to the bathroom.
I'm here too. Sorry.
Okay. I don't remember eating from him. I don't remember doing anything but just sitting and trying to protect myself. And it was myself and my sister. She was my baby sister, and he never approached her. He always would find some way to try to get us alone. And I remember, I think one day I just got tired, or I slipped up and I fell asleep. And I remember waking up and he had himself pressed up against me, and he had his lip pressed up against me. And I just remember just sitting there frightened with my arms covering me. And I just sat there. Everything after that is a blur. I'm not sure if he went further. I don't know. Like I said, there are places that I have gaps in. And so I think what happened after all of this happened, it just led me down a path where I became promiscuous. So by the time I was 12, I was having sex with whoever wanted to have sex with me. So by the time I got to 13, I gave birth a month before my 14th birthday. And I remember the day when my mom found out that I was pregnant. And I remember she put me out. She slapped me. She did. She slapped me, and I flew backwards over the couch. And I remember I landed like in crouching position, and I couldn't understand why I wasn't crying. I couldn't understand why I didn't feel anything. I think at that moment, years before with the other abuse, my mind had trained itself somehow to shut down. And I remember she told me to get out, and I did. I left. I had no shoes on. And I walked to the other side of the community where I lived, to a friend's house. And I just remembered I wanted somebody to talk to, and there was nobody to talk to. I was like literally on my own. Like the father had taken off and went to school and went on with his life. And it was just me. And I remember I spent the night outside in a shed. I don't know if somebody put a sheet in there for me, but I remember there was a sheet in the shed that we had in our backyard. And there, it was built, I would say, I thought it might have been an old laundry room, and there was a table on top there. And I remember that's where I slept that night. And I just remember listening to my brothers and my sister laugh and talk as if it was an everyday occurrence. And that part of me just, I think a part of me died, or it became invisible. I became invisible, you know? And so within a week or two, I was sent to Beta House, which was for unwed mothers at that time. And I believe at that time I was one of the youngest they have ever had. And throughout the pregnancy, to be honest with you, my mind never allowed me to attach to this baby, because she had already made it, said it in no uncertain terms, you cannot come back here with a baby. You cannot bring a baby into this house. And so I never attached myself to the baby. I never felt those motherly instincts like I did with my children in later years. It was as if I didn't look down and was a baby in my stomach, I wouldn't know that I was itself to having a baby. I didn't have confidence. Baby, it was as if I was pregnant and I was pregnant for somebody else. And I remember when I gave birth, allowed me to hold him for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and my mind didn't connect with it. I still didn't feel any attachment. I just really didn't feel anything at all. I didn't even feel anything for myself. I didn't feel sorry. I didn't feel bad. My mind just literally shut down to whatever was happening because I wow. Alone, I didn't have any emotions. I was just, I don't really know how to explain this, but I really didn't have any emotions. Everything just came at me, and I just mustered through it the best way that I could because there was nothing else to do. And I remember right before I gave birth, going to school, I would hear them talking, you know, but I just kept my head up as best as I could because I believe that if I had allowed emotions or anything to take place, I believe that I probably would have done some type of harm to myself. I say that now because when the Lord instructed me to write this book, it was like, it was like going back in time and having to experience every emotion. Everything took place in 2950. So I had to go back and I had to experience all the emotions from when I was a little girl all the way up till I was 13. And it was very, very, very painful. It was like I was reliving the moment and I'm finally experiencing what 13-year-old, 7-year-old, 6-year-old, 5-year-old me didn't experience. I experienced being lonely. I experienced embarrassment, humiliation. I felt cast away. I felt a burden. I just remember all these emotions. They just came out, and I began to cry. And that was my first time from the age of 7. I want to believe everything took place between 7 to 9, or it could have been younger. I'm not sure. But that was my first time ever crying from that age all the way up until I was 49. Right at my 49th birthday, God began to deliver me, and he did it in 5 years, what I had been carrying for over 30 years. And I'd never forget that because I had my first cry at work. I work in a building by myself, and I remember it just because he had been dealing with me. I had been writing and experiencing all types of different emotion. At one point, I remember going to bed and I heard, stop crying because he's not coming back. And I remember I got up and I'm like, okay, is this are we talking to the 49-year-old me or are we talking to the 13-year-old me? Because I didn't even know that that was in me, that I still had hope that he was coming back. You know, I didn't know that I wanted him to come back. And so it was just very painful. And it was very traumatic. My relationships were purely sexual. I abused pills. I abused sex. I abused alcohol. I was fighting to keep these memories from coming back. I was fighting to not have to deal with it. And then when it got to that point, I guess when he got tired, and he told me to deal with it, I had to go back down that road. And I didn't like it. I wrote kicking and screaming because I was experiencing a myriad of pain and emotion that was really foreign to me. And sometimes I still struggle with it now. I remember when I had my second son, for a minute, I was looking at him, and for a minute, I couldn't feel anything. For a quick minute, I remember I didn't recognize who he was. I'm like, well, whose son is this? But it lasted maybe a split second. And then I remember my mind falling back into place. And I thought about it, but I never told anybody I was experiencing this stuff. I've suffered rages. I've torn up my house. My children have suffered behind of that. The only good thing I think came out of it is I didn't take it out of them physical, but emotionally, they were abused. They were. I would have periods of depression where I wouldn't talk. I would just go to bed. I would drink or I would take pills to try to just make it through the day. I wasn't taking pills to kill myself. I just was taking pills just to get through one day, because every day something new was coming. I didn't have any coping skill. I was just having children. The last four children are like a year or two apart, and I didn't have any coping skill. I didn't know how to cope when these rages and these moods came on. I didn't know where they were coming from. We lived practically our life without furniture, and if I had furniture, they were always broken. Something was always broken in my life. If my friends wasn't broken, the relationship I had were broken because I was broken, and I associated broken with everything. I've never had brand new furniture, even up to today. I've never had brand new furniture. I've never had brand new anything. And when I got to that part where I realized, and when my sister said it, she said, "Wonder, there's something about you just having furniture and throwing them out and they're broken." And I thought about it, you know, and I was like, nah, I kept going. But, you know, when I began to heal, when I felt these different things dropping off of me, I went back to that and I said, she was right. Everything around me was broken because I was broken. And in my brokenness, I broke my children. And so now I'm getting healed. I'm getting healed. There are some little pieces of me that still get emotional from time to time, but I'm at the point where I think about it and I don't break down, I don't go to pieces. And so now I'll turn around, and my job now is to bring women and children from a place where I went, where I shouldn't have went, because I believe that there were many times God. Go ahead.
Can I stop, Wanda? Can I stop you here?
Yes.
Take a break, because this is a perfect place to take a break. And again, I'm Bailey. I'm the host. I had internet issues for some reason, and I tried getting on like 15 minutes in advance, so it wasn't like last minute. So I apologize again. And I would like to. We have a couple of people that have called in, so I'm gonna take a break, and I'm gonna bring some of our panelists on.
Okay.
First, since you've already spoken to my co-host, Charlie, I will bring on Bob, who's calling in from Australia. And welcome, Bob. Welcome from
down
under. How are you? How are you?
Everybody calls it down under, but it's on my wall. I've got a map of the world where Australia is at the top. So it's all relative, hey. Yeah, love your sharing, Wanda, and what it brought to my mind, and I'll speak this slowly because it's profound for even me. God or creation is amazing, eh? Not only mm-hmm. have we been gifted with a mind, we also have a subconscious mind, and this is just through my own life experience. And it is in that subconscious mind that all our hurts reside. And they are only released to consciousness at the rate that we can handle them. And so I had to keep going back to the wounds of my childhood. And it's like peeling the layers off an onion. Mm-hmm. You know, only so much pain could be released. And like the, you know, the subconscious mind knew how much that it could release. And so I had to make multiple return visits to, you know, the start mm-hmm. of my abuse, which is my childhood. And mm-hmm. so good on you darling. You know, you're on a journey, and you're unique like the rest of us. So, you know, I don't have your answers. Finding your answers is your job. I found my answers, but I might have some of the questions. So everything is unfolding perfectly, and I know, and you can't hide your truth from an empath, even over the internet. So I know you're on the right path. Just follow your heart, darling. You're doing great.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bob. I really appreciate it. I'm going to bring on Pamela from Alabama. Well, sorry, from Louisiana, but she is our ambassador of Alabama. Welcome, Hi. Pamela.
Hi, Bailey.
How are you?
Miss Wanda? I'm fine.
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Wanda? Hi, I'm Pamela.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for coming on the show. I know, is this the first time telling your story on a show?
On a show like this, yes. I had practiced once before, but it wasn't on a platform like this.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know that we're all here. We all care for you. We're a family of survivors. And just take your time, take a breath. You know, don't feel rushed to have to tell us anything. You're doing a great job. One thing I'd like to ask is, when do you think you got onto your healing journey? And have you had a therapist helping you?
Repeat the first question.
When you thought you started your healing journey, and it was it with a therapist?
No, it wasn't with a therapist, and I started it the moment the Lord himself told me to write a book. And I knew that it was the Lord, because the person that told me, she mentioned the color of the book. And for whatever reason, I've always wanted to write a book, and I always wanted the cover to be white. I don't know what that is about. And when she came to me, she was actually preaching. And she stopped in the middle of it, or before she started, she said, the Lord told me to tell you to write your story. She said, I don't know how thick it is or something like that. She said, I see a book with a white cover. And I knew then that she heard from him, because that is what I had already told myself. I'm going to write a book, and the cover is going to be white. And
you know what white represents? White represents purity and innocence.
Right. Okay. Amen.
So you're on a journey towards purity and innocence. When you get closure and healing, you're going to feel that dark child is not going to be there anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. And so as soon as I started writing, like as I mentioned, the stuff just came tumbling out. And I never forgot, I got my first cry at work in the building. I was doing something. I'm not sure what I was doing, but that day I was feeling shaking anyway, and I remember this cry just came out of nowhere. And it was a cry, I don't know, because I didn't even know that I had so many different cries. I have given my cries. But I think this cry was a cry where he began to remove the top layers. And I just cried, and I remember thinking, God, is all of this coming out of me? I just cried, and I just cried. And when it stopped, I remember getting up. And for the first time in 52 years, no, that was right before my 50th birthday, everything started. And for the first time when I got up, I felt different. I felt a cleansing. I felt like stuff had been removed. And I, not in my innocence, I thought that I was healed, but it turns out I wasn't even close to being healed. But I
that may be
that
when your journey was starting. That may
yes.
be when your journey was starting. Yes. It's like it's
I
come.
Believe
Let's
that when it did.
Yeah. I had that soul cry too. When I started
huh?
my healing, when I started on my healing journey, I had that soul cry, that deep gut
yes, yes.
come up and just wail. You're just wailing. You're not even think. You know, it's not even passing your mind. It's just coming out straight from your, from
yes.
your soul. You know.
Yes. That is exactly how I would just describe
well,
it.
I have to stick myself in here. My healing and crying lasted for years.
Yes.
It was
yes.
recycled, you know, the stages
yes.
of grief. I would say up until
yes.
even the beginning of this year, I would say I haven't felt that way only in the last few months, 2 months. I've changed my whole mind frame. So, but I went through it over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
So.
Yes, yes. I know about the crying for years because I
yeah.
at one point I asked God, I'm like, will I ever stop crying? Will
yeah.
this ever
right.
stop? Because once it started, I just have experienced so many different cries. I've experienced a grief cry. I'm honestly amazed and in awe of God because I do have to give him the glory for it because I know it was God because the truth is I was in a church for 13 years and I never experienced the type of healing that I got when I changed church. But I also believe that he kept me where I was for 13 years as like an incubator, just to keep me, like you said, when it was time for me to heal, because I don't think that I would have, had he not told me to read that book or send the lady to tell me, I don't think I would have done anything. I think I would have sat down and I would have continued to be tortured, to suffer. I was losing my mind, literally. I was losing my mind.
I know about that. Go on. I just wanted to see if Pamela was done for the moment.
Yeah.
Or she had anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done. Thank you so much. We'll get back to you.
Okay.
I'm just going to stop. Wanda, give me a minute. I want to give out our phone number again, 646-595-2118, 646-595-2118. We love having people call in. Can we go to Darlene? Do you mind if we take on two more people?
Please. Yes,
okay.
Please.
And then we'll get back to you. So Darlene from Tennessee, welcome.
Thank you so much. And Pamela, she said, you know, she's the ambassador for Alabama, and that's originally where I came from, so that's kind of funny because she's got the same kind of interactions towards Wanda that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, she's getting my words. But, yes, white is serenity, prayer, a new beginning, a fresh start, you know, an eye-opening thing, you know what I'm saying? And when you're crying, even in the Bible, it's like our inner child. You know, I don't know if you ever read any of Bradshaw. What is his name?
Mm-hmm.
It's Bradshaw, John Bradshaw's books, I believe. And talking about the child within, basically, and the different stages of the child within, and you got to go in there and heal each one. You know, each stage of different hurts that it had. But in the Bible, it even talks about how God hears the little child's cries because he has an angel that whispers in God's ears when we're crying, when we're hurt. So God actually is hurt too when a child is. So look it up in the Bible. It does say that, okay?
There's
a big what whispers in his ears. So, you know, that is why it feels like cleansing and stuff when we add that in and accept him in our lives, because he's the only way I made it through. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and I went to Amazon and I seen your book and the Kindle version is $1. I went ahead and grabbed it. It's $1 today.
Which one are you talking about? The compilation?
Diamonds in the Rough?
Yes, ma'am. That's the compilation of different stories. And I put my story in there, but I'm actually waiting to finish my book, which would have the white cover. It's just little pieces are being revealed to me of different stuff that happened that I forgot.
Right. It's like we block these stuff out because we cannot handle everything at one time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the brain is an amazing thing that God gave us, you know. And that brain is a good protector, even though it don't weigh too much on our bodies, you know, three pounds or so, you know.
Okay.
But, you know. But it's amazing, you know, that it's that little compartment where, you know,
right.
I breathe in and everything, where it breathes, we breathe on our own, thanks to that certain part of the body and such, so on, you know. So there's hidden things that we cannot deal with at the time, and it kind of like gets blacked out, if you know what I mean. But
yes,
the problem I have is like whenever they just flood out, there seems like too much at one time. It's hard to put all that in a coherency.
Right.
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 And I want to thank you so much for telling your story and let you get on with it.
Thank you, darling. Let's go to William from Tennessee. Welcome, William.
Hello.
How are you guys?
I'm doing good, and I've been listening to some of the story, and Jeanette's right about that. When you have a lot of trauma and things like that, your memory is not always that good because it kind of was blocked out for different things, and then it took like a while for you to get back some of that memory. And that's one of the problems when you have a traumatic event or things like that at times. You can't recall everything right now. You may get little bits at a time or things that may trigger it and many other things like that too.
Okay. I receive that. Definitely.
I can understand that too. Sometimes we block out things that we can't handle at the moment, you know? So, well, thank you, William. I am going to bring on my co-host for a minute because he's been very patient. Charlie.
Hello. It's been a long time. you know, I just want to also offer my praise and glory to God as I understand God to be for the journey. He had our special guest on, and the fact that she was where she was because of what the enemy wanted her to be, but she's not where she was because God came in and your free will, your power, took over the power of the enemy and brought you back to where God would have you to be. So it's okay to give yourself credit for that. I know a lot of times, and I myself did it, would always say, God, 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 and God is absolutely. But God also, it's interesting how God gave us the power of free will when you really look at that and go, whoa, free will can actually overpower God, because if it couldn't, then we wouldn't do some of the things we did, and because God would just come in and take it away or make us not do them. So it's okay to give yourself some credit as well. And I applaud you for that, but definitely, you know, always giving God the glory. So I'm very proud of you, and I'm honored to be here tonight with you. And thank you for accepting my friend request on Facebook prior to actually knowing who I was, but I do appreciate that. You're going to find here at NASCA, you have found a family. You have found a bunch of brothers and sisters that are going to be available to you. If you haven't had an opportunity, peruse our website, NASCA.org. There's a ton of information in there. There's thousands of shows literally. And I just want to say welcome, and I'm going to let you get on with the show and step back aside.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. And I'm going to throw the mic back at you, Wanda, and I'm going to be quiet for a good 15 minutes, and you can go on and, you know, talk as much as you want. The mic is yours. The show is yours. And feel free to talk.
I mentioned that I started losing my mind, and I know I was losing my mind, but there were other different situations as I got older that came up in my life, too, that was just as devastating, because what had happened is at one point I was receiving information about the son that I had given up for adoption. And I remember sitting one day, and I was just reading everything, and this feeling, I can't even give it a name, what I felt. I don't know if it was a simmering rage. I don't know if it was self-hate, shame. I don't know. But I just remember I tore every bit of information up that I had in relation to him, because it felt, when I was reading it, I felt like I gave birth for somebody else. I felt this isn't my child. I don't have any right to know what his life is like. I don't know what his life is like now. He should be close to 40, I'm thinking. But I remember tearing up everything, and I threw it in the garbage, because I felt I had thrown away, but I didn't even know that I felt that way until someone else told me that. Because I said, well, everything I touched when I would be angry would go in the garbage. I would start processing. If it didn't turn out the way I wanted to, I felt angry, and it would go in the garbage. I have literally torn apart my house in anger, in rage. I don't know what the rage was about. I don't know. I literally torn up stuff and threw them out. That's the part where we never had furniture, because the minute I get angry, everything would go out the door. And I remember thinking back as I was writing the book, I was like, oh, my God, my children, they experienced this. I said, and in my mind, I was like, where were they all this time? How did they make it through? And I remember just hearing that God had them. He kept them. Because I don't know, when I went into these rages, they were never around. They were probably in the room somewhere. So I don't know if in my rage I would have turned on them also, but I just remember thinking they were never around when I would be throwing and breaking stuff. But he said, I remember he had them, he kept them. And I was so glad for that, because I also understood, even in what I was going through, that they're suffering, they're paying the price for what happened to me. I don't know if the anger was directed at myself. I don't know if the anger was directed at my mom, because for a long time, my mom and I did not have a good relationship. And we never talked about what happened, and I was glad. Nobody ever talked about it. Nobody ever asked me anything about it. And I was to the point where I was glad, because I really couldn't even speak about having a child at 13 and having to put him up for adoption. I just remember every time I wanted to tell somebody or unburden it, it would come out. It would get in my throat and it would stay there. And I remember this one time I was going to tell this guy that I was seeing. And before I could tell him that, he made a comment about women that had children at a young age or something, he said. And when he said that, I just immediately clam up, and I never mentioned it to him. To this day, he doesn't even know he passed her in. I never told him about this. So I never told anyone throughout life because I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to tell my children that this thing happened to me. I was little. I gave birth. They never knew until my son, he found the information. And he asked me about it, and I had a meltdown. And so they never asked me again. And right now, my relationship with my son, we have none. Because he read the book before it was done, and I thought that he would understood, you know, I thought he would understood this is why I was the way I was when you were coming up. This is why our household was so chaotic, because I was messed up. But he couldn't handle it either. So right now our relationship is not the best. But I believe that God is going to restore it in time. I know he wants an apology. I don't have a problem apologizing. But before I could apologize, I had to get to the root of what caused me to be the way I was, the things that I was doing. And I've gotten to the root. I know where it came from. And so now I believe I'm stages of healing. I know there's still some other stuff left in me because sometimes I suffer from inferiority complex. Sometimes I want to be wanted. I have to be included in stuff. And when I'm not included, I get upset. I get offended. And I'm trying to learn how to not feel like I need to be included in everything and be okay with that. You know, one of the things that God did with my pastor, who I'm with now, and by all rights, she shouldn't even be talking to me. But I had always told my family, when I get a friend that I can talk without too much trauma, I'm out here. And I remember when he put me with her, it was, you know, he took me out of my comfort zone. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And she was really put there to help get me to where I am now. But I didn't know that, and I started fighting it. And I literally came up against her twice to the point that, you know, she didn't want to have anything else to do with me. And I couldn't blame her, but it was one of those things that I hadn't dealt with that that feeling of never being good enough, that feeling of being left out, that feeling that you're not on the same level. And that's nothing she said. That was stuff that was in my mind and kind of still is. I'm getting a little better about it. But back then it was, you know, and I remember I was so angry with God because I was like, how could you put me somebody like that, like she's this and I am nothing, because that's what I felt. And I remember I would be planning and plotting how to get away, how to run away, how to leave, until I finally did get myself put out. I finally packed up and leave. And I ran into so much devil, it was ridiculous. And I stayed at a hotel for a while until one day the Lord told me, he said, I need you to get back in place. I need you to get back in place so you can get training for what's to come on this earth. Because I'm a creature, so I literally see demons. I see these things. And I remember I said, okay. I just said, okay, because, okay, fine. I'm just going to say, okay. But I didn't move fast enough. And so I had an attack. And when that attack came, then I left my back. I still wasn't there. I still had little issues of jealousy. And it took me a while to tell myself that this is what it was, because I was like, You know, who wants to be jealous of a person? I know I don't, because I've seen in her ministry what she went through to get where she is. And my thing was, God, I didn't ask you to be with her. I just asked you for a friend. I wasn't looking for all the other stuff. But somebody mentioned yesterday in a message, God places you with people to have something that you need to get you where God wants. She, I would always tell me, one, God put us together because for in order for me to get you where you need to be. She's like, God, Wanda, anything gonna come in? And sure enough, he came in through my children, began to book friendship. I couldn't understand why when her presence was keeping them, you know, and then he used me to get in the middle of our friendship, of our mentorship. And then when she shifted, I didn't shift. So it was horrible. It was a horrible situation all the way around for her, for me. I felt bad really for her. I didn't feel too bad for me because I knew I was crazy. I just felt bad because I don't think she realized how crazy I was, you know. And I suffered about depression. She said, I told her, that's why I put you here, for you.
Don't call yourself crazy. Don't call yourself crazy.
Well, I'm no longer that, but I have no longer
crazy.
That.
You were unhealthy. You were in a bad place, and rightfully so. Would you like to stop now for a minute? Should we go through the panelists again? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give out our number again, 646-595-2118. We'd love to hear from you. We have a great guest, Wanda Marie Chandler from Orlando. You're not that far from me. South Florida. I'm in Deerfield Beach, Florida, so I'm like in between. I'm at Broward County, whatever.
Okay.
Not far from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 So let's go back to Bob from Australia. You're back on, Bob.
Sorry, folks, I'm just cooking lunch. I'll be back in about 10 minutes, so carry on.
That's so funny. Enjoy. I haven't even eaten my dinner yet, so have me in mind. It's funny. Let's go back to my friend Pamela. Pamela, you're back on.
Hi. Wanda, you're doing great. So what you're saying is that, if I hear you right, that you got into some toxic relationships, right? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, did you get into a relationship that kind of got toxic?
Are you referring to the one with my pastors or the other ones? Because there were so many toxic relationships. But the one the one with my pastor wasn't unhealthy. I probably made it unhealthy because I couldn't understand why God would place me with somebody like that. Like, she preaches, she sings, she prophesies. She just, like, she's in the fivefold ministry. And in my mind, I'm like, wait a minute, God, I can't do this. Why would you put me with somebody? Because I was already suffering from low self-esteem, barely self-confidence. It goes up, it goes down. It depends. And I would always get intimidated when I would be around women, and they all could pray, they all could preach, they all could prophesy, and I'm here. I am having a hard time trying to hear from you, God, and you put me with her, and now, you know, I'm about to ruin this whole thing that you set up, because like I said, she kept saying, God put us together, Wanda. God put us together, and my mind refused to accept that. I was forever plotting, how can I get away from this lady? How can I get out of here? Until I finally did. And I really almost lost my mind. Again, I wasn't ready. I guess I wasn't ready to be out on my own because I was still in the midst of coming to terms with what had happened to me. I had to admit to myself that these things happened. I had to admit to myself that I had a child at 13. I had to admit to myself that I wasn't a good mother, that my children suffered emotionally. They suffered probably mentally. You know, I had to admit to myself these things, and in doing that, it hurt. It genuinely hurt. I was hurt. I was angry. I just felt like
so
people used me.
Let me ask you, Wanda. You know, all the things that you went through, all the emotions, all the hurt, all the pain, did you never think about possibly doing any therapy with a therapist? Did that ever cross your mind, or did that ever anybody ever advise you to do that, or you just never ever thought to do that? I mean,
you know what? No, I never thought to do therapy. I never did. But I was talking with my sister, and she was like, you probably still need to see a therapist. And, you know, I mulled it over, and I, you know, and maybe I will, because I know, like I said, there's something still that every now and then they'll come back. But I also understand, or what I've learned, is that God will bring these things to me so I can deal with them, especially the ones that I don't like to deal with. Like with the jealousy, I just openly, flat out refused to admit that I was jealous. I just openly, I'm like, no, I refuse to name it. I can't say it. I just refuse to give it a name until one day I really have to confess it to myself.
Yeah.
And I felt a
I was abused from the age of 4 to 18, and I repressed all of it once I got away from my abuser. And it wasn't until I was in my 50s that I got those repressed memories. And what happened was I ended up with a therapist, and I'm telling you, it was amazing when I got. And she's a God-given Christian, I mean a God-fearing Christian therapist. And she is amazing, I'm telling you. So, you know, just a thought, kind of, you know, pray and see where God leads.
Right. No, I mean, I will give it some thought. I will, because I don't feel that I can, my goal is that women don't suffer this long. And
they don't want
I will suffer in silence as long as I did. And I say that because I remember, and I'm a dreamer, and really that's how really God talked to me, because during the day, my mind is everywhere. And I remember I fell in a hole, and I was trying to get out the hole. And I heard him, and he said, are you going to stop trying to get out the hole? And I remember I said, yes. And I said, yes, and I slid back down the hole because I couldn't get out the hole. And it ended there.
Yeah, the more you try to dig out, the deeper you go, right?
Yes, and I just, and there were other little things that I think that he had been trying to get me to heal me, and I just wasn't receptive, or I don't know, because I was in and out of church. I was in and out of church. So if he was, it went over my head. You know, and I just remembered I would see this little boy in my dream, and I kept telling my pastor, oh, I keep seeing this little boy in my dream, and it looked just like my son when he was a little boy, because I had a picture of him that they gave me, and I remember she said, the Lord is just going to bring your son back. I thought to myself, okay, whatever. But it turns out he was telling me to deal with it, because right after that, that's when he told me, deal with it. I mean, I heard it. It was the voice heard, deal with it. And right after that is when I want to write. But I know there's still some stuff that's there, and I'm just ready to get it all out, because it's been over 30 years that I have carried this in.
I'm a social worker. I'm a social worker, and I see a licensed clinical social worker, and I just love it. I mean, it's nothing like having her on my side, validating how I feel, you know, knowing what I've been through. It's just nothing like having that confidential person that you can talk to. You know, we talk to God, and that's wonderful, but at the same time, we need people, Jesus in the flesh, right? So, you know, we carry God within us, and, you know, we need other people that are godly, and trained professionals that are godly is awesome.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to just get to the rest of, I would like to get to everybody on the panel, but I agree. I'm going on 5 years with my same therapist, and without her, I don't know how I would have gotten to where I am today. So I think it's great, wonderful. And Pamela, thank you so much for calling in and for your input. And I'm going to mute you right now so we can get to everybody else. Let's go back to Darlene. I'm sure she has something to say.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. I understand what you're saying about therapy is important, but if I had to go back to where my very first therapist, I would say don't do it. But, you know, so it just means you need to find a therapist that does understand, that won't stymie you. Or, like, after so many years of therapy, and I was through a couple of good therapists, and then I moved somewhere else, and then went to another therapist, and they says, oh, your dad never did touch you, you just wanted him to. Oh, my gosh, they kind of, you know, I uncovered this for so many years. You think I don't want to, you know, put it back up underneath there, you know? So she was about to tell the doctor I needed to medicate him for my belief of wanting him to touch me. And it's
wow.
But anyway, you know.
One bad therapist doesn't mean they're all bad therapists.
It just depends on the best. Huh? Yeah.
I said one bad therapist. It's a marriage.
You have one
meaning the right therapist is a marriage.
Mm. Exactly. Sorry, it's kind of like a marriage. You got to kind of like bond together.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of like that.
And then you know, you're entitled to switch out. I mean, you know, if you guys don't click and she doesn't get you or he doesn't get you, bye-bye, next. There are many, many good therapists. And Darlene is right. You need to find one that is educated in the trauma that you have been through. Because if they don't understand that kind of trauma or trained, or that's their specialty, they won't be able to help you. So,
right.
You know, it's very important that you find a Pamela said that, but the right therapist.
Yeah.
And now we're very lucky to have therapists out there that are special, have the specialties that you, all of us, need to help us heal when 10 to 15 years ago, or even less, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It's just bad when you see one, and if it says that he has to do some things that's not good for a therapist
right away,
to do,
you have
just
to
so that you heal, you got to go. You got to run.
Yeah.
Right
away you have to realize they're not for you. Okay, we only have about 17 minutes left, so let's get to everybody so you can bring William back on.
Yeah, that's William, the thing too. I'm here.
that's the thing about some of the old days and the therapies and the people and the stigmas that was associated with the different problems with that. And they really didn't have, they had some counselors that were still good, but there was stigma and things with people who had suffered trauma and things of abuse and things. That's why NASCA is such an important part of encouragement and things to others. And especially those that have suffered from different things like the stigma that goes with teenage motherhood and things like that and the problems involved with that too. So I'm glad she's telling her story and bringing out some of those issues because that was some of the old problems. And I'm glad that you're talking about how the new the therapists and that are more specialized in their different fields these days. And well, you know about all that stuff because NASCA is very involved in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, thank you so much, William. I'm gonna meet
you're
you
welcome.
Right now, and I'm gonna go to my co-host Charlie. Charlie, you're back on.
All right. Well, I'm just going to make this real quick. I want to give the mic back to Wanda and allow her to share whatever she wants because 90 minutes goes by fast and we're down to the last few as we're talking. So, Wanda, have at it.
Okay. Well, in closing, I know that I've come a long way. I have, and I look back, but I don't look back in terror. I don't look back in anger anymore. I just look back in awe because of where I came from, because of what God has done. And through that, he's allowed me to co-host a book, which is Diamonds in the Rough. And out of that came an affirmation, which I have a book by the same name at Lulu's when I can find wherever Lulu's is. And it's called Woman You Are. And that's what was born out of me through God, through all of this that I went through. Every negative thing, every negative word that I associated or tied to myself, he turned it around and he gave me Woman You Are. And that's the ministry that I, God, that's the ministry that I'm working under to just bring women back from that place where they don't believe in themselves, where they don't think they're worth anything. And when I sit and I look at the women and I see what they're going through and I know that something happened to them, somebody did something to them, because you don't just get up in the morning and decide you're going to give your body to everybody. You don't just get up in the morning and abuse your body with alcohol. Something happened somewhere, nobody's seen it or somebody's overlooked it. And I want to be at the forefront to bring women back to what God has called them to be in the first place, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I'm just, every day is a good day for me because I hated getting up in the morning. I didn't want to die a physical death, but I didn't want to be alive. I hated being in my body. I hated being in my mind. It was torture. It was like I was being tortured daily. But I can say honestly, when I get up in the mornings now, it's different. I might be a bit slow forward with some stuff I'm doing, but I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy that God kept me. I'm happy that I persevered. I know that I owe it all to God, because without him, how he orchestrated this, the healing that he's doing, I know I couldn't have done it myself. I wouldn't have done it. So I just really and truly, I just give all the glory and all the honor to where it goes to. And I am with it. People, one thing I've learned with the church I'm with people who have went through those traumas. I've never met people, they're like you guys. Everybody there has a story, a history. They're a deliverance, a healing and deliverance church. And that's where my healing is coming from, where it's come from. Some of it I know came from God himself. I know that. And the other part of it is the people that he placed me with And I'm so forever grateful to God for that. Even when I mess up, I'm still forever grateful to God for placing me with the people who have a heart like his. That's it. And I thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to share my story. I probably was a bit rushed. I was nervous. I didn't write anything. I thank you, God. I thank God that the invitation was there, because I tell him all the time, Lord, whenever you open a door way for me to tell my story, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. I don't want another woman, another little girl to walk around and not feel good about themselves and take it all the way. I should have been healed a long time ago.
Don't say that. This was the time. Because now you have a family, you have the Nesca family. You know, maybe back then there wasn't anybody support system. You know, I believe very much that it's impossible to heal without a support system. Impossible.
Right.
You need to have a support system. You need to have God. You need to have or higher power, church, community. You need to have some sort of family, something, friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to heal alone. I mean,
right.
That's my opinion.
I definitely, you know, I love my family, but I also knew that I knew that I wouldn't get their support, but I didn't think that I would not get their full support.
But
so,
you had God, and you had
you had
other mentors or whatever, family or
yes.
support system. Not
yes.
everybody has their family. Sometimes their family is their abuser. So, let's go back
right.
to Bob from Australia. See if he's done eating. Bob, you there? Okay, enjoy. Well, we have about 9 minutes to go. So if there's anything else you'd want to share, otherwise I will bring Charlie back on if he wants to say anything, because he didn't really say much.
No, ma'am. I just hope that it reaches somebody. And
yes,
when it reaches that person, that it begins to, you know, unravel, undo all the negative connotations. Somebody mentioned the stigma that comes, because it does come with a large stigma, and it's too heavy to carry. So I hope somebody's life has changed somewhere.
Abuse, whether it be violence, or sexual, any kind of trauma you have, whether you're an adult or a child, this, unfortunately, we still have stigmas out there, and communities and groups, churches, synagogues, whatever, they still don't want to deal. They still don't want to bring it out there. It's too much. People
right.
can't handle it. And you know what? Too damn bad. We have to handle it, because we want our next generation. I always say this. I say this on every show that I do. We want the next. We want to break the cycle. And in order to break that cycle, we need to end the stigma. And in order to end the stigma, we have to bring it out in the community, awareness,
yes.
and education. Those are the three things that are going to really just, you know, help us keep advocating and bring things out. I mean, I spend all morning, I get up and I start my social media postings and, you know, read my messages and, you know, and I've done a bunch of podcasts. I start, one of the first ones was NASCA. I shared my story. And, you know, recently I did one with one of our NASCA family members, who I interviewed, and she asked me to be on her show. And I'm really proud to say that it was a YouTube video, and it was actually, you know, face-to-face, so you got to see both of us. And
mm-hmm.
it got, like, 1.4K views. And I was like, yay, we reached people. Because I got messages from people. And that's what, you know, right now I put my book aside because I know it's going to be very, very painful, and I have to have a lot of time to dedicate to it. When I do it, I want to go and do it, because it's going to be more than probably going to be two books or whatever. But the point is that the way I can use my voice right now is on social media and doing podcasts. And unfortunately, I have numerous friends who've been through similar things as myself. It's fortunate and unfortunate because we are a great support system for each other. And it's unfortunate that these kind of things happen. And our stories are more domestic violence, and our kids witnessed these things. So that's abuse towards them. Now, you know, unfortunately, one thing we all have in common is that all of our spouses were abused as children, whether it was sexual abuse or verbal, mental, emotional abuse by parents, and they took that with them into their adulthood. They did not get the help, and, you know, because of the stigma, and you know, even or they never opened up until. So what did they do? They started another generation by, you know, marrying a lot of the wives, my friends,
mm-hmm.
grew up in homes that were not healthy. So they married unhealthy men, and now their children are going through this. So when is it going to end if we don't stop,
right.
if we don't keep going? So we have about 5 minutes. I'm just going to bring Charlie back on. Any words for anybody?
Yeah, words for the general
Charlie?
Audience. Both. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
Hello? Okay. So this is for our general listening audience tonight and in the future. Just so you're aware, Wanda, these shows are archived, and they're put into a file where anybody can come in forever and listen to them. So mm-hmm. with that, I want to say this is I strongly suggest you go to Amazon.com and check out Wanda Chandler. That's the name you'll find her under Amazon, Wanda, W-A-N-D-A, Chandler. C-H-A-N-D, as in Donna, L-E-R, okay? And check her out. She has two books. One she released on August 22nd, 2020, Woman, You Are. And then one she co-authored with several other people called Diamonds in the Rough that was released on March 22nd, 2019. Now, folks, yes, I'm making a shameless plug for our special guest because that's what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you. The one is a $2.99 for a Kindle version, okay? Scrape up $2.99, get Woman You Are by Wanda Chandler. And guess what? Diamonds in the Rough, if you can't scrape up $2.99, how about $1? You can get Diamonds in the Rough right now for $1 in the Kindle edition. It means you can read it on your phone, on your laptop, on your computer. Let's help Wanda and her mission out. And that's what I'm going to say and end my part of the show. I just want to put that word out there for Wanda. Wanda, you're an amazing woman, and God has amazing plans for the rest of what he has for you to do.
Thank you. Thank you. To God be the glory. Thank you guys so much.
Well, we appreciate you having you on the show and sharing with us. And you keep doing what you're doing, bringing awareness to our public, and, you know, I just have this argument. I know this is, like, out of the blue, but we have 3 minutes, so I just, like, people are making comments about COVID and killing so many people and blah, 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 and yes, I agree 100%, but you know what else is killing people? Abuse and depression and all these other things. And a lot of it is directly, I mean, we have domestic violence is the number one killer of women across the entire world. You know, people don't talk about that, you know.
Right.
Forget, what about all these people that are isolated in the lockdown with their abusers?
Right.
We're
oh
not talking
my.
About that. We're not bringing that out in the open. No. We're just talking about, you know, people are so focused, you know, from what I understand, more people die from the flu, you know, than they have from COVID. It's just the focus is so twisted in our world, and people are so focused on the media that, you know, they're listening to all this stuff. And yes, we have to protect ourselves, and we have to wear our masks when we're in public, and we have to wash our hands 100%. Two of my children had COVID. They're in New York, thank God. They're doing well. My sister, her whole family had it. I know many people that died. But you know what? Many people are dying from COVID, from depression, from abuse, because they're not getting the proper help because it's the stigma. They're keeping their mouths closed. And this is more important right now. That's important, mm-hmm. but this is more important because it also correlates and is related. Like I said, we have depression, we have people isolated with their abusers, and we have to start really bringing more and more awareness. We have 40 seconds left, so I would like to thank everybody from Bob, from Pamela, Wanda, a special guest. Thank you so much for opening up. To my co-host Charlie, to Darlene, to William. Thank you all for calling in and being a part of our show tonight. And I know Wanda's going to do amazing. She's going to be a big part of our NASCAR family. And God bless you. And God bless all of those out there that have suffered. Please listen to our shows. Please, if you ever want to share your story, we'd love to have you share your story. And the more people that come out there and bring awareness, the more we are going to get rid of all this horrible stuff that's happening to our kids out there. And hopefully one day we will do away with trauma. Again, thank you all for being here tonight. And God bless and have a wonderful evening. Thank you to our guests. Wanda.
All right, good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was blue. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.